I invite you to open your Bibles now to John, the 15th chapter. As we, each one of us, have spent time growing up, and those who perhaps were in Bible studies through college and high school and in early adult life, you probably spent some time being challenged to memorize some very important passages of Scripture. Important. All of the Scripture is important, right? But very helpful portions of Scripture that really help us to reflect and learn what that relationship with Christ is all about, as well as what it means to follow Him. And over these last couple of Sundays, we've begun this short series that is going to last up until the Sunday before Thanksgiving, which that's next week. Isn't that crazy? This is a series of sermons just about you are. And if you'll remember, a couple of weeks ago, we preached a message that was called "You Are Mine," as God in Isaiah 43 said, "You are mine." And wanted us to recognize that we belong to Him. And truly, if we belong to anybody, we need to belong to God. We ought to live like we belong to God. That's perhaps one of the greatest challenges, and part of what we're going to hit in this message today. And so today, we are going to just listen to the truth that Jesus said, "You're my disciples." And as we are His disciples, He is saying, "You are the branches." So that's really the focus and the title of this message today. That's why we read those portions already from John 15. And today we're going to read now from John 15, verses 1 through 8, and just try to capture what is this nutshell that Jesus is talking about for us to recognize how dependent we need to recognize we are upon Him. Friends, in Christ and doing the work of the kingdom of God, we cannot ever begin to think that we can depend upon ourselves. We cannot ever begin to think that we have arrived and that we are at this place where, okay, I'm going to do God's work and the rest of it doesn't matter. Thanks for the safety net back there, but I'm going to go ahead and press on. Folks, we cannot have that attitude. We cannot have that spirit in us that says, "I have come to this place where I don't need either the help of God or really the overwhelming, all-consuming presence of God in our lives." And so, as we think about this message that I've titled, "You Are the Branches," let's see here what Jesus says, because really we're going to focus on the things that Jesus said in this passage. All right. And by the way, if you have a red letter edition, Jesus said it all. All right. All of these are His words. All right. John 15, verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, He removes. And He prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples." Will you pray with me once again? Lord, as we come to this time and these moments together, as we open up your word, I would pray that you would cause us each one to hear appropriately from you. Lord God, guard my lips and my thoughts. And Father, open each of our hearts and our minds to be completely sensitive to the things that your Spirit would say as we consider this, your word. Lord, thank you. And we give praise, worshiping you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this passage has what I will call three characters. I read something from someone that said that there were four characters, but really there are three characters because the fourth one is kind of is still us, all right? People who have attached ourselves somehow to the body of Christ and to the vine. So the three characters that I want to highlight here that are spoken of as he speaks of the vine. Jesus, of course, in the first verse said, I am the vine. And so we have the vine, and the vine is Jesus. It's very clear that's who he's talking about. And so that's the first character. The second character is the Father, all right? The second character is the gardener, as it says in this particular translation. The vine grower, the vine tender, the vine dresser is perhaps a term that many of you have been more familiar with as you read this and remember this passage. But he says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine grower, the gardener, the one who takes care of the vine. And so that's something that's so important for us to see and recognize, that those two primary characters are the ones that we need to be giving attention to as the third character, which we are as the branches, we are the disciples and the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? And among those that are a part of the vine, and in that context, we might find others that would come and try to attach themselves to, for example, the body of Christ, the church. And in the same sense, we would see that there are many in our world today who would like to attach themselves to Christ, and they like to use the teachings of Christ and the name of Christ to do all kinds of other things that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. They really are seeking to promote their own kingdoms more than they are to promote the kingdom of God. And so I think we have them as kind of that fourth character, if you want to consider that. And yet, I think when he speaks about the pruning and the moving away, he's really talking more about those who have come to Christ honestly and yet have not really given surrender, not really come to a place where they're going to live their life in such a way as to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. And I think that's really important as we look at what he's talking about in the pruning. Because all pruning, all growing is for the production of fruit, right? I posted it on Facebook last night, and I said, at the end of every growing season, my tomatoes, when they come to the end, I always treat myself with one preparation of fried green tomatoes, right? Because there's always green ones left over that are not going to ripen. Now, I've had my green tomatoes gathered in a container over the last 2 weeks, and some of them are beginning to have become actually ripe during that period of time. But I pulled out my favorite, the best-looking green ones left last night, and I sliced them up, and I prepared them, and I bred them, and I put a good quarter and a half, 3/8 of an inch of oil in the bottom of a pan, and I fried them up. Once a year, I make fried green tomatoes, and I love those. They are so, so good. If you've never had them, you should try them. Tell me next year sometime, and I'll invite you when I prepare them. I'll save a few extras. But honestly, it's one of the most wonderful delicacies at this time of the year, at the end of what I get out of my little tiny garden. And so as we think of that today, the tomatoes that grew on my vines, on my tomato vines, were good tomatoes. I got vines that said they are early girls, and I only had two early girl tomato plants this year, and one little cherry tomato plant, and So as they grew and produced through the year, I drew all of the nice red ones as they ripened and have enjoyed them. And we still have a bowl of red ones sit at home that we need to give attention to and make useful to us since they were so wonderfully productive. But the green ones are gone now, all right? Because, you know, I decided, okay, enough of you have ripened. I want some fried green tomatoes. And so we made those up, and I enjoyed those. Shared some with my kids because they were by for a few minutes last night on their way home, and it was great to be able to do that. Well, as we think about the vine, we want to know that there is a vine, and the vine is going to produce the fruit that is consistent with what the vine is, all right? And of course, the disciples would have been very familiar with the vineyard, the grapevines that were prominent and prolific in the place around Jerusalem and everywhere they went, really. And of course, we live in a territory where vineyards are quite prominent anymore. More and more you see grape vineyards being developed and popping up around. And here we are, and the disciples, of course, were very familiar with the vineyard. And so this was a perfect opportunity for teaching as Jesus speaks to them and talks to them about the importance of being attached to the vine. The absolute necessity of being attached to the vine. "I am the vine," he said, "and my Father is the gardener." And it's kind of disconcerting that the very next thing he says talks about pruning. But we have to understand that pruning sometimes is not complete removal of a piece, but it's removing that which is unproductive, unfruitful, and unuseful for the purpose of the vineyard. And so he says, "Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit." All right? And so, yes, there will be branches that come and they become attached to the vine and they enjoy and they nurture. You can kind of look at some of the other parables of the Lord Jesus here, and you can see that in the scattering of the seed, some of it fell on good soil, some of it fell on hard rocky soil, some of it fell among thorns, and it sprang up and looked like it was going to be pretty cool, but ultimately it was unproductive and unuseful, and so it had to be wasted. But here we see that with the vine that he's speaking of, as Jesus is the vine, if there's no productive fruit, he's going to remove that vine. That vine has proven that it's not going to be productive for the kingdom of God, and so he removes it. Sometimes this happens in the life of a person who may have received Christ and may have decided that they wanted to follow Christ, but then they went on and just lived life by their own standard, by their own plan. We saw with the whole of Israel at times that they went on to live in by whatever way it seemed right to them, what was right in their own eyes. And I think that's what happens when a person begins to follow Jesus and finds some excitement of that and probably genuinely has a moment of belief and says, "I want to place my faith in Jesus." And so there is this, and they begin to walk with Jesus, but then life kind of overtakes them, and they become less and less useful and less fruitful for the purposes of the kingdom of God. And so the Father is the one then who brings about this pruning activity. Now, does a father prune because he's angry? Does the father prune because he's mean? No. And I think, and I didn't give our brothers this verse, but from Hebrews chapter 12, we find these words in verse 11 that tell us this. And of course, we know this. In fact, I want to back up just a little bit more, beginning in verse 7. So if you want to open your Bibles to that and follow along, you may. But God brings discipline into our lives. And I think we can recognize that is so important to us along the way. And in Hebrews chapter 12, he's speaking about faith. Paul is here. And beginning in verse 7, he says, "Endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all receive, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had human fathers discipline us, and we respected them. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of our spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time based on what seemed good to them, but he does it for our benefit so that we can share in his holiness. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And so, we recognize that the Father disciplines, prunes, in order to make the production better. He prunes to make us better. He disciplines us to make us holy. He brings about a good work in your life and in my life in order to bring glory to his name and to promote and grow the kingdom of God. The Father is busy in that work, and that is a part of how we see him here as the vine dresser, as the gardener, bless you. we recognize that as the vine dresser, our Father is intent and serious and very loving because he wants the vine to produce. He wants the vine and all that become attached to the vine to be helpful and to produce. Now, let's go back to the vine just for a minute and recognize that when we become attached to Jesus, when we are grafted into the vine, if you will, and become the children of God and the ones who share the purposes of God, then we have been grafted into Christ, and being grafted into Christ, we need to reflect and do the things that are Christ, that are true reflection of Jesus. You cannot, as one who is grafted into the vine of Jesus, produce anything else. And I think what we're seeing is if we try to bring something else into the vine and try to feed it back into the vine, that's where we're going to get cut off. That's where we're going to be pruned off, because that is not and has nothing to do with the purposes of God and the fruit which God desires for his son and for the church, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "I am the vine." And so here is this, the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, has its roots sunk down deep, and he's drawing only from the relationship that he has with the Father. And they together are one. We recognize that even Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." Even Jesus recognized, and from the very beginning we've been taught and we understand that the Father and the Son and the Spirit are one in their deity, in who they are, in what they are. And they belong with one another. They cannot be separated. And their purposes are the same. We understand them a little bit differently. And I think God chose to reveal himself in this way to us because in our humanity, we would have had such a hard time grasping it any other way. And guess what? We can barely grasp it this way. We can barely grasp it this way. But the Father and the Son are one. They are one in purpose. The Spirit also is one with them. And none of them do anything that is inconsistent with the other. And therefore, they are one. Every time you see the script in the Scripture, something referring to the Spirit, know that that is a reflection also of the Father. Know that that is a reflection also of Jesus. And know that Jesus gave the Spirit so that we would not be without Him. All right? He gave the Spirit so that we would have fellowship with this everlasting, eternal, triune God. And He gave us this. And so, speaks of the vine grower. He speaks of the vine and He speaks of the branches. And now let's just look a little bit more at what He said. He said, I am the vine. I am the vine. And if the vine is going to produce, the vine will only produce what the vine is. And the vine is Christ. It is God. It is holiness. It is righteousness. It is purity. It is perfect fruit. And so as the vine, Jesus is perfect and holy. And what He is providing to the branches, what feeds from the vine to the branches, is the holiness and righteousness of the Word of God and the truth of God and the purity of Christ Himself, His absolute righteousness as the Son of God. And therefore, as He said, I am the vine. If you're going to be attached to Me, you're going to do what I give you. And you're going to be what I am, and you're going to produce what I produce through you. And you will be dependent on Me. Do you want to be attached to the vine? I want to be attached to the vine. And yet I know that in my own flesh, I get mixed up trying to confuse what I want with what He wants sometimes. And I want to be attached to the vine. I want to be abiding and living and dwelling in Him so that He is able to produce what He wants to produce through my life. And so He said, I am the vine. And He acknowledges again that the Father is the vine dresser. And we appreciate so much the work of the Father, because He is the one that as Father brings that discipline into our lives. And then Jesus said, remain in Me. Remain in Me. In verse 4, He says it more than one time, but in verse 4 He says, remain in Me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in Me. In the early stages of the growing of my tomato plants, I got them out there and I let them get a little bit bigger than I should have before I put the cages around them to give them the support they needed. And so here, you know, for a while, they don't need any extra support. They're just out there. The branches are kind of going all this way and that. And I looked at them one day and said, oh, man, let me just be honest with you. I looked at them for about 3 weeks and said, oh, I should get to that. Okay? And then finally, I got to that. And I went out there and I grabbed my cages and I started kind of gently holding the branches up so that I could get the bottom of the cage, which has a smaller rung than the rest of them, to get the bottom of the cage. Because, you know, once it's in the ground, you can't bring them up from the bottom. It's just impossible. So I did this very gentle habit of trying to get those branches through there. And sometimes, there, no matter how careful I was, it did not matter, but I would break kind of break off from the primary trunk vine, the branch would begin to break off. And so what I would do then, I say, okay, maybe I can bend it a little bit further and actually get it on up. And then when I was done with that, I did everything I could to reattach the branch to that same place on the vine, because, you know, there were a bunch of little yellow flowers on that branch already. And I didn't want to lose the tomatoes that could be produced from that. And so I very carefully, and at times I didn't have to do this year, but at times I've gone and I've put tape around that just to hold it long enough for it to reconnect and reattach and heal. We'll just call that healing, because that's the way God has made these things. And reattach so that the branch could continue to reestablish its connection and draw from the vine. You see, we need to maintain a healthy connection with the vine if we are going to produce any good fruit at all. If we're going to be able to produce fruit at all. And my friends, that's what happens. We've got to stay connected to the vine. Remain in me, Jesus said, and I in you. Guess what? Jesus really can't produce anything through you if you don't stay connected. If you don't stay in him. Remain in me, and I in you. And so, you know, this tomato thing is so fresh for me. I don't grow grapes. We had a vineyard once when we lived in Kaiser, Oregon. But let me be honest with you about that. It was a big headache. It was just trouble. We ended up finding some grapes off of it every year, but then doing our best to kill it if we could. But we never did. It always came back. But isn't that cool how it always came back? I loved that, but I hated it too. But here we have the vine that is Jesus, and he is, of course, one with the Father, and he is the one that has purpose, and he is the one from which, through whom, all things flow. We sing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Well, that's what we're talking about. Our blessings come from him, and they come through Jesus. They come because of Jesus, and they come because he is so great and so marvelous for us. And so Jesus said, remain in me, and I in you. And if you don't remain in Jesus, he does not remain in you. He cannot remain in you. It is not the function of a separated branch to be able to produce good fruit and accomplish that which is good and beautiful and wonderful. But even as Jesus said, remain in me and I in you, he also said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Okay, now, if, he said, you remain in me, and I in you, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. Some people take that verse and they start in the middle and they say, Jesus said I could ask whatever I want and he'd do it for me. Right? Mature Christians come to the recognition somewhere along the way that's not the whole story. It's not the whole story. Now, granted, I believe that Jesus wants to produce and answer and provide everything that we desire. In the Psalms, we find these wonderful words if you delight in me, and I couldn't come up with the word delight there for a second. If you delight in me, I will give you the desires of your heart delight in me and my words remain in me. He's saying this back in Psalms for us, and he says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. You know. Well, the desires of my heart sometimes are not very holy. The desires of my heart and my life and my flesh are just not very good sometimes. But he said, if you delight in him, and we got to start at the beginning. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. We got to start at the beginning, and if we delight in him, that's when we are able to have the right desires. Okay? I think that's one of those things that's so important for Christians to recognize. That if we believe that he will provide for us, do for us, do those things that we seek, then sometimes we need to go back to the beginning and do the first things first. That first say, you need to find your delight and your treasure and all that you are first in me. And then as you do that, you're going to know me so well that you're going to understand what I want for you, what I desire for you, what is perfect for you, what is good for you, what is good for the kingdom, what is good for the world. And as you do that, as you walk with me, you will be able to say, I have always had the desires of my heart. I have always had, because I have walked with Jesus, I have done what he has called me to do. I have walked after him, and he has provided for me the very best of every blessing. And so that's what he's saying here once again. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. But if we go off, start asking, and don't first try to know Jesus, try to dwell in him, try to understand him, allow the juices of his provision to flow through our veins, to flow through us as branches, then we will never know what the true, pure, holy desires of the Christian heart, of the branch's heart, of the child of God's heart, of the kingdom of God are so fulfilling and so full of sweet, sweet blessing. He said just above that, apart from me, you can do nothing. Are you seeking to do things that you think are good for God and for the kingdom of God, and yet you're not really dwelling in God, not resting in him, remaining in him? John 8 says, abide in me. Abide in me. And as we abide, as we live there, that's where our home is. That's our dwelling. I abide at an address on Providence Avenue in Spokane, Washington. That's where I abide. That's where I go home to. And friends, when you think in spiritual terms, where is your home? Where do you go home to? Do you go home to Jesus? Do you go home to God? Let me just say, you don't ever have to leave for the first point. But do you go home when you recognize that you need, that you just need, that you've drifted a little bit? Do you know where home is? Are you going to go there? And I think some people have drifted so far they've forgotten how to find their way back home. They really have. They've drifted so far that they really are not sure what the address is anymore. But let me encourage you, friends. If you feel like that might be true in your life, the address is found here. It's found here. And it's found here in knowing God and discovering how he is pursuing you and how he is loving you. And let me just remind you that to find your way back home to God is not that hard. He said it to us in a number of places, but he said it so clearly. I'm not that far away. I'm not that far away. If you seek me, you will find me if you seek for me with all of your heart. This is how you find your way home. And this is where you can live and dwell and find that fellowship and that relationship with the Father. For he has revealed himself right here in his word. Apart from me, though, you can do nothing. But this last phrase Jesus said, in me you bear much fruit. Now, nobody wants to become famous personally for bearing fruit for Jesus. I know that in church life sometimes, people get promoted and kind of lifted up, and we celebrate people because they're really walking with Christ. They're bringing other people to faith in Jesus. They're doing that. But our goal, while it is that, it's to bring people to faith, to teach them about the love of God, to help them come to relationship with him, our goal is always to be promoting Jesus and to be lifting him up and exalting him, because it is him who brings salvation. We tell the message, we speak the truth, and yet it is the Holy Spirit of God that makes that bear fruit in a person's life. But our fruit is that which we do in obedience to Christ. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you've drifted, my friends, come back. He's ready. He loves you and is eager to make you fruitful, because in him, you are able to bear much fruit. And then that last thing, in bearing much fruit, you prove that you are my disciples, that you are my disciples. We don't want to follow a person other than the person of Jesus. We don't want to become so attached to a man or a woman or anyone that would promise us all kinds of amazing things if we would just walk with God the way they tell us to. But we want to be attached to Jesus, and we want to glorify Jesus. For he is the one who died for you, who paid the price that you might have forgiveness of sin. And through receiving his gift of grace, you receive the promise of everlasting life. Has that taken place in your life today? Has it taken place in your life at some time? I'm thankful that we're able together to have fellowship in the name of Christ because of what he's done and is doing in our lives. Now, I'm not sure exactly what each individual in this room needs to do today, but I can say this, that what I believe all of us need to do faithfully and consistently is evaluate our walk with Christ to know that we are in the vine, that we are in fellowship, that we don't need for the Father to come along and slap us back into that spot where we broke off from and put some tape around us. But maybe we do. And if you're at that place, make yourself available to the Father, and perhaps he will make you productive once again. He will help you to bear fruit once again by attaching you to the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you might, along with the other branches, the disciples who follow Jesus, produce fruit for the kingdom of God. The Father is the farmer. He wants to bring healing and perfection to the vine, and he's able to do that. Jesus just asks us and invites us, don't go jumping off. Remain in me. Remain in me. That might be where you need to come to. Maybe a little bit of a step back to where you're going to remain in Jesus. Or maybe you just are struggling right now and you just know and you need to hear that if I stick with Jesus a little bit longer, I'll discover once again the joys of bearing fruit. Remain in me. For apart from me, you can do nothing. But in me, you can bear much fruit. Let's pray. Father, once again this morning, we are so thankful that you are a God who pursues us, that your love is everlasting and your love is pure, that while many people in our world don't really fully grasp with any kind of understanding the nature of your love, we see and we understand that there is horrible brokenness all around us, and we might even at times say, Lord, can you just not fix it? But Lord, you've always chosen to use the people that you've called out of darkness and into the glorious light of Christ to bring about and to proclaim the message of hope and forgiveness and help people come to a place of usefulness in their lives. Lord, I'm just going to simply ask this today, right now. Lord Jesus, will you bring the healing and the mending of cracked, split, and broken branches to the body called North Addison Baptist? Will you cause us to be found remaining in you, abiding in you, prepared for bearing good fruit in its season? Lord, will you do that good work in us? I ask really simply for that. But Lord, where we find ourselves and evaluate ourselves as individuals, I ask, O Lord, that you might help us to be ready and yielded and hungry for that which Christ provides, that we might ourselves become healthy and bear good fruit. Thank you, Lord, for listening. to our prayer. And thank you for answering that in each of our lives along the way and then collectively as the church. We love you, Lord. Help us today in our commitment and conviction through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray in his name. Amen. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing a song. It's a song that encourages us to bear fruit. Really, it's that's what it's about. The love of God is broader than earth's vast expanse. Let's share his love. Let's stand together. If you need to make some kind of a statement about your faith, your profession, perhaps you want to receive Christ today, I would invite you today. I'll be ready and I'll be right here at the front. I eagerly receive you and help you to make that decision. There are other decisions that you need to communicate with either just me or with the church. We'd be delighted for you to come. Let's sing together, Share His Love.